We've been looking at relationships and marriage, And what we've tried to do is we've tried to look at what the Bible says about different forms of relationships. We looked at premarital relationships. What are the things that God says about that? We looked at, you know, if you want to get married, how, you know, what are the things that God, how does God say we should go about it? We looked at the role of the husband last week. And I think before the week before that, we looked at marital relationships within the context of the husband and wife. We looked at some of the things that cause maybe misunderstandings, why misunderstanding arises, you know, the reason for it, women think in a particular way, men think in a particular way, and all that. So we've looked at that over the past few weeks. Today, we're going to continue from where we stopped. And we're looking at the role of the Christian wife this morning, the role of the Christian wife. Now, what I'd like us to do, and what I said at the beginning of the series is, there are a number of things that we'll be looking at from the Bible. Now, we believe that the Bible transcends culture. So the things that we're saying, they're not culturally based. They're not based on the continent that you come from. These principles and these things apply across the board. So we're not looking at a cultural perspective here. We're looking at what the Bible says specifically around these things. So today we're looking at the role of the Christian wife. I'll see if I can finish today. I'll just blaze along as quickly as I can, but just trying to explain. So under this, we'll be looking at five different things, if time permits. We'll look at the Christian wife and her husband. We'll look at the Christian wife and her home, the Christian wife and her children. The fourth thing we'll look at is mentoring younger women, and I'll talk a bit about this. And the last thing we'll look at today is grace to do these things that God has asked us to do. Now, one thing I just want to make to really throw out there this morning. One thing I want to throw out there this morning is, I think a lot of times we hear things like, you know, you should behave in this way, you should do this, you know, you should be kind, the husband should love their wives, wives should. We hear all these things, and sometimes we desire to, you know, fall in line, we desire to obey what the Bible says. And what happens oftentimes is we hear a sermon and we say, you know what, I'm going to change. I want to change. You know, this particular lifestyle I've been living, or this particular thing that I've been doing, I want to stop doing it. I want to do more of this type of things because that's what the Bible says. And we charge off with these sermons that we've heard, and we try and do these things for first day, second day. We're still, you know, still going on, you know, trying our best. By the time it gets to like the third week or the fourth week, oftentimes we're like tired. We're like, you know what? I think this is just a bit too difficult. And we just revert to how we would normally behave. Then after a while, you might think, you know, this Christianity business is just too difficult. You know what? I'm just going to take it easy. I'm not going to bother myself too much. So that's the response usually that one gets when you just stop at, this is what you should do. This is what God expects you to do. Without explaining that, the only thing that will give you and I the ability to do what God wants us to do is called grace. What I'm saying is this. All the things that the Bible is asking us to do, God doesn't expect that we're going to do it or do them in our own strength. What does He expect from us? He expects a decision from us to say, okay, you know what? I want to go in this particular direction. That's what God wants from us. But the actual doing of those things, we must really, 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 really realize that it is God working in us that will help us to do those things. So that as we do those things, they become, well, not easy all the time, but we're not doing them based on our own strength, but on God's strength. Do you understand what I mean? So all these things that I'm going to be talking about today, you know, as I mentioned last week for the husbands, is, look, I'm going to read out all these things that the Bible says we should do, but to be honest, God isn't expecting that you're going to be able to do these things by yourself. He's expecting that you rely on Him and help and let Him help you. Do you understand? So that's the foundation of what I wanted to say today. So the first thing, we look at the Christian wife and her husband. Now, beneath this, we'll look at two things. We'll look at submission and help. Now, when you say submission nowadays, you know, this is like the 20th century. I mean, there are a lot of things that can come up. And rightly so, because I think maybe submission might have been misunderstood. So when you, you know, say submission, maybe during your lunch break or you're having a chat with some of your friends, it'll be like, what do you mean? What do you mean I should submit? This is the 20th century. We're not in the Stone Age era where man was dominant and women were just, you know, subservient. So that submission thing is out of the window. That's the kickback you might get. But the Bible doesn't refer to submission in that context. The Bible doesn't say submission means you become a slave. The Bible doesn't say submission gives the husband the upper hand, so to speak, to say, you know what, wife, the Bible says submit, so you submit to me. No, that's not what the Bible is saying here at all. And that's not what the Bible means. I mean, I gave an example a while ago, and I said, say, for example, you're in your office. I'm in an office, and my boss is a woman, for the sake of this example. You know, irrespective of whatever opinion I have, once I get to the office, let's even assume that my boss is my wife in the office. No, not my wife, my daughter, for some reason. Let's assume that my boss in the office is my daughter, you know, and I get into that office. Once I get into the office, I must submit to her authority as my boss. Do you get what I mean? So what that means is that whatever my opinions are, she might hear it, listen to it, but because responsibility lies with her, at the end of the day, she makes the decisions, and I have to submit to whatever decision she makes in the context of the office. Now, it doesn't mean I'm less intelligent than she is. It doesn't mean that I'm less of a person than she is. Do you understand? But in the context of the office, because she has the role of boss and I have the role of the guy under the boss, I have to submit in that circumstance. Do you understand? So in the same way the Bible calls submission from the wife to her husband, it's not saying that the woman becomes a slave or subservient. It's just saying that within the context of marriage, someone has to take the lead. Someone has to take the lead. And in the circumstance of marriage, the person that has to take the lead, as God has appointed, is the woman, is the man. The woman takes the lead indirectly. I tell you. You know, a woman that really knows her stuff, I'll use that. Should they take the lead anyway? So we'll just hands up for that. But what I'm saying is that submission in this instance is not saying you become a slave. It's not saying, you know, but your rights are eroded. No, it's saying that in that context, someone has to take lead. And the Bible refers to the person who is being submitted to as well, the husband. In fact, the Bible goes on, we're not looking at husbands today. The Bible goes on to say to the husbands that love your wife and do not treat her harshly. Then in Peter, he goes on and says, you know what, man? I'm paraphrasing now. You better treat your wife well, because if you don't and you treat her harshly because I've asked her to submit to you, I won't answer your prayers, God said. Do you understand? So God is balancing these things to say, look, you know, I've asked her to submit to you, but you know what? If you mistreat her, if you treat her harshly, I'll deal with you and I will answer your prayer. So he says it's balanced here. So God really checks the thing. So that's the background of what I was saying. Now, what is submission? So I took the liberty of looking at the dictionary to say, let's look at what submission says in the dictionary. It says, Submission is accepting or yielding to the authority or will of another person. So it's yielding to the authority or the will of another person. That's what submission is. It is not subservience. It's not a slave trade. It's not, do you understand? So that's what the Bible says when the Bible says submit to your husband. Now, if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 22 to 24, what is this submission? What does it look like from the context of the Bible? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. I'll read from here. We're reading the King James Version for this one. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. So this begins to define what submission looks like for a wife. Last week we looked at love, when the Bible says love your wife, we looked at the components of that. So the Bible is saying something here about submission. It's defining it. And I'll make 4 points here. The first thing it says here is, it says, submit yourself unto your own husband. Number one, your own husband. So what this means is this: as a wife, you are to submit in this context to your own husband, not to somebody else's husband, not to somebody else's opinion. Do you understand what I mean? Actually, not even to your pastor's opinion. Do you understand what I mean? In the context of submission. So what this is saying is that for the husband, it's a big responsibility. And the Bible is saying you should submit to your own husband. And it's saying that because it's easier sometimes to submit to some other person, maybe your boss at work, because they have authority in the context of your job. But it's saying here, submit to your own husband. The next thing it says is, how do you submit? He says, submit as unto the Lord. You know, there's this scripture we read in Corinthians where we say, whatever you do, do with your heart and mind as unto the Lord. That's our worker's scripture. So here it's saying that, you know what, ignore your husband's, you're not doing this for your husband. You submit as if it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you're doing it for. So you're not really doing it for your husband. So if your husband is not a very nice man, but we know we're all nice here, so it doesn't apply. Even if your husband is not that nice, you overlook that. You're not doing it because of him. You're doing it unto the Lord. The same thing we looked at the husbands last week as well. It's unto the Lord. So the third thing about this kind of submission, the Bible now goes further to describe what this submission looks like. It says, as the church, submit like, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be as well. So it now begins to address the submission from looking at the comparison between the church and Christ. It says, as the church submits to Christ. Now, what does that mean? In our own context, you know, there's some things that God asks us to do as a church that sometimes is really difficult to do. For example, Christ says, forgive people who have offended you. And you have this person who offends you constantly. Maybe they've actually even stolen stuff from you. They have slandered you. They have done all sorts of things. And you have the right to be offended with them. But Christ says, as the church, forgive. Do you understand what I mean? So what do? You just say, well, you know what? I don't really want to forgive that person because they don't deserve forgiveness. But because you have said it, I'll do it. So it's saying, as the church unto Christ. So which means that there are things that one might find uncomfortable to do, but you do it anyway because it's unto the Lord. So the other thing it says about this submission is this. It says, and I'm going to really qualify that as well. It says, in everything. Now, we're going to qualify that in everything, but before I qualify that. So this says that it's not saying, you tell your husband, the wife tells her husband, you know, when it comes to this area of life, I will submit to your authority. But when it comes to this bit, out of bounds, you know what I mean? I'm not a robot, by the way. this part of my life, I will not submit to it. It's my own decision. No, it's not your own decision. The Bible says in everything. However, in not everything, how about if the husband now says, you know what? I have decided that I don't want to be a Christian now. I want to be an idol worshiper. And I have this idol that I bought from India. When we get home, we will both bow down to it together and worship it. That's where you draw the line. And just say, you know what, dear? This is against the Bible. Now, why am I saying this? In Romans, as an example, the Bible tells us that all authority is from God and that we should submit to authority. That's what the Bible says. But when the authorities brought Peter and James and John before the council and they said, don't preach in the name of Jesus or we're going to deal with you. At that point, even though they were subject to the Bible, subject to authority as recommended, as you know, declared by the word, when he came to disobeying Christ, they drew the line there and said, you know what, we will submit to you, but if it has to do with disobeying Christ, no way. And they refused. So that's why I'm qualifying that everything. But again, just saying that, what this is saying is that in every area of the life, as the man is, as the husband is the leader, one needs to submit. The wives need to submit. So I'm just going to move from there and go on. The second thing I want to look at is, so we looked at the wife and her husband and submission. We'll look at the next one, which is your home, the home. If you look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 15, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 15. It begins to say here, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. It says, she will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Can you put it to NIV, please, so I can read it in slightly clearer English? Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 11. Okay, I'll just open it here. We got it. Okay. It says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband finds full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. The next verse, please. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. Next verse. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. Then 15. It says, she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her seven girls. So again, what we're saying here is this. There are a number of qualities that have been listed here about, you know, this virtuous woman as a wife. But one thing it says here is this. That the Christian wife is responsible for the home, for the maintenance of the home. Now, am I saying that when someone gets married, they shouldn't, you know, the woman shouldn't work and all that? No, I'm not saying that. What the Bible is saying here is this, that the woman, the wife is responsible for looking after the home. All right? Now, what this means is this. If a wife has a job, other responsibilities, that is absolutely fantastic. But the responsibility of looking after the home still rests on her. Now, in some homes, it might be that the man says, you know what, dear, let me do this part of the home. Let me do this. You just put your foot up, your feet up, and I'll clean and all that. That's fine. So even if the husband does that, it's by agreement. But at the end of the day, she's still responsible for it. Do you understand what I mean? Even if she's not the one doing it, she's still responsible for it. It's not the husband. That's what the Bible tells us here. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I believe that in marriage, I think probably even amongst the younger generation, I'm a young guy myself, although someone was saying something about youth this morning, but we'll leave that till later. Sometimes there's the conflict where you have young people who get married nowadays and it's like, you know what? the wife tells her husband, this is an equal marriage, which is fine. We're equal in this marriage. You're equal before God. Now, you know what? This cooking stuff, I'm not for it. You cook whenever you're hungry. If I have the time, I'll cook and all that. No. Whether you have the time or not, the responsibility is with you. And what you find is that because these responsibilities are not really outlined or discussed properly, the husband is expecting something, the wife is expecting something, and it just goes, do you understand? But the Bible tells us here that the wife is responsible, even if she's not the one that does it. Do you understand? So, the wife is responsible for keeping the home. Now, I'll mention one, then I'll skip to the last one that I just want to look at here, if time permits. The other one, the third one is, obviously, training up children as well. Fathers have the responsibility as well for that. If you look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child. If you look at, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. If you look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, there it talks about the fathers giving instruction and mothers teaching. If you put it to NIV. So that's what that says. It talks about, you know, fathers instructing and mothers teaching. So again, although it's a joint responsibility, the, you know, Christian wife has responsibility as well to teach, you know, to teach the children in the home as well. Now, I'll look at the last part before we look at grace. This is from the book of Titus chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. Titus chapter 2 verse 4 to 5. So this is the last part I'm looking at. We've looked at the Christian wife and her husband, the Christian wife and her home, Christian wife and her children. This fourth one is looking at the Christian wife and mentoring younger women. And I'll say this for a reason. So it says here, talking about the women, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands and to their husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So what this tells us is this, is that being a wife, all the things that, you know, that, well, the characteristics of a Christian woman in her person and the way she does things when she gets married is not automatic. It's not automatic. So what this means is that for the Christian mothers, the Bible says that I'm not a Christian mother, I'm a Christian, that Christian mothers have the responsibility to train not just their own children, but the younger women. And it says they should teach them seven things. And I would have thought some of these things are really, you know, strange. Why would the Bible be saying, you know, older women should teach the younger women who are getting married or who have just gotten married these things? The first thing it says is that the older women should teach the younger women how to love their husbands. You're wondering, isn't that, you know, if when you get married, you love your husband, you know, that's one of the reasons why you got married. By saying that, they should teach them how to love their husbands, which means that for our girls, they need this instruction to say, okay, look, this is how you behave. This is how men are. This is how you should do what you should do. Saying that these things oftentimes should not be left to chance. The next thing it says is that they should teach them to love their children. Now, why is the Bible saying mothers should love their children? Mothers, I think, automatically love their children. But it's saying here that as mothers, one needs to pay particular attention in the nurturing of children. Sometimes I believe that, you know, you have like kids, they're screaming from morning till night, which is fine, and you're just tired. At some point, you might just say, you know what? I've had it for today. Just go about your business. It's saying that no, mothers should go that extra mile. Is it saying fathers shouldn't? Fathers should as well. But there's something that the Bible has put in a woman and a mother concerning the child. I mean, I know when I was growing up, there were loads of things I told my mom. I went to my mom, I'd say like 95% of the time. my dad 5% once in a while, because I knew that, you know what, my mom would give me everything at will. Most of the things I wanted. But my dad would interrogate me. Why do you want that? How about the one that you had last week? I didn't want any of that, you know, complication. So I just went to my mom mostly and just smiled. And so it's saying that women should love their children, and they should be taught to do so. Now, the other thing as well, it says teaching them to be discreet, to be chaste. It says teaching them to be homemakers. Again, teaching them to be homemakers. So what that means is that for our young women and our young girls, the Bible says that for the older women who are married, you need to teach them how to be homemakers. It's not automatic. So what does that mean? That means if you have a daughter, or maybe even in the church, you should teach our girls how to cook, all those things. Now, all these things, they seem like, you know, come on, this is like proper old-fashioned back in the... No, it's not. The Bible says that we need to teach them how to do these things. All right? Now, the other thing that the Bible says that the older women who are married should teach the younger ones is how to be good and how to be obedient to their husbands. So that's the last part. Now, so that's where I'm going to end today. So we've looked at, you know, the role of the Christian woman towards her husband, towards her home, towards her children, and also mentoring younger women as well, so that they can grow up to become godly wives. Do you understand? But in closing up, you know, I mentioned at the beginning that all these things that the Bible is asking us to do, they're not things that we do just by our own strength. They're not things that we just can accomplish by ourselves. But God is saying here that His grace is sufficient. So as we do these things, it's just really desiring that, you know what, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to live. This is the example I want to live. I want to be an example to my daughters. I want to be an example to women around me. Do you understand what I mean? But doing these things not in our own power, but in the power that God provides. So that's what makes the difference between doing this thing as a Christian woman and just doing it as a woman. Because as a Christian woman, God gives you the ability to do these things if you're conscious of it. Amen? All right. We're going to stop there today. I'm just going to ask that we please rise this morning and just pray.